This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Friday, June 27th. Brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. GOP pushes to resolve reconciliation. Cantwell seeks to make trade part of Mideast diplomacy. And Warnock's warning. Senate GOP scrambling to finish reconciliation. Senate Republicans are still working through a few major issues as they try to pass their reconciliation bill in time to meet President Donald Trump's July 4 deadline. They cleared one hurdle yesterday when the Senate parliamentarian officially signed off on two key Agriculture Committee provisions. One imposes a cost-share requirement on states based on their error rates. The second cuts off benefits to immigrants who don't have citizenship or permanent residency. But now the main event, perhaps the biggest remaining question, is how the Senate Finance Committee will adjust its Medicaid proposals after the parliamentarian ruled against several provisions. Among those was a proposal to cap provider taxes, which some Republicans have opposed. Instead, they've urged Senate leadership to follow the House proposal on provider taxes. Senate leadership has been working on tweaks to the language in hopes it can gain approval the second time around. Following a conference meeting yesterday afternoon, Senator John Hoeven of North Dakota said the changes being considered are similar to the SNAP state cost share fix and involve the time frame for states to respond to the current provider tax freeze. This provision was also included in the House bill. The Senate is still considering adding a stabilization fund for its rural hospitals and a total dollar figure. But given the parliamentarian ruling, Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri said it seems like Senate leadership is trying to determine, quote, what direction exactly they want to go in. In the meantime, some 23 Democratic governors wrote to congressional leaders warning that the SNAP provisions in the House and the Senate reconciliation bills could mean some states will leave the program. This could lead to eligible participants losing access and an increase in hunger, the governors say. Warnock, Farm Bill Coalition at risk. Senator Raphael Warnock, a Georgia Democrat who serves on the Senate Agriculture and Finance Committees, says it's a mistake for Republicans to use the partisan budget reconciliation process to pass more funding for farm programs. Farmers need a whole range of things that can only be addressed in a farm bill, which is rightly done every 5 years in a bipartisan effort, Warnock says on this week's AgriPulse Newsmakers. This piecemeal approach risks pulling apart the kind of coalition that you need to address things in addition to reference prices. He also says rural areas could be hit hard by Medicaid and SNAP funding cuts. This week's Newsmakers will be available today at AgriPulse.com. More states go MAHA. Oklahoma is the latest state to seek a waiver from the USDA to restrict certain food purchase through SNAP. Governor Kevin Stitt says the state also is taking steps to remove artificial dyes from school and prison meals. He was joined by Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. for the announcement yesterday. USDA approved six state SNAP waivers so far. Other states have also taken efforts to remove artificial food dyes and additives from school meals or from shelves entirely. Kennedy is expected to join Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry today as he signs a bill that would restrict food dyes, require labeling for products containing one of several common food ingredients, and mandate restaurants give consumers a notice if items are cooked in seed oils. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Located in Washington, D.C., Watkinson Miller has been providing legal services to the agriculture industry for more than 30 years. The attorneys at Watkinson Miller possess a unique combination of knowledge, skills, and experience working with commodity boards and their partner organizations and the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Watkinson Miller is proud to serve the agriculture community by delivering top quality legal services that achieve cost effective results.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Cantwell, make trade pact a part of Middle East diplomacy. Senator Maria Cantwell of Washington is pushing for the U.S. to make trade a component of diplomatic solutions in the Middle East. Cantwell told attendees at an event hosted by the Washington International Trade Association that she's planning a bill that will authorize negotiations on a Middle East trade deal. We need more diplomatic solutions for the region, and I think trade could be a part of that, she said. Such a deal, she said, would be based on previous efforts to launch a Middle East trade preference program and could prioritize technology and AI products. Eligible countries would have to join the Abraham Accords, normalize relations with Israel, coordinate on export controls, and support Gaza reconstruction and nuclear arms limits, she said. Why it matters? Well, at the same time, former U.S. Trade Representative Susan Schwab, who served under President George W. Bush, argued that U.S. agriculture benefits as much as any industry from more open digital trade. The cross-border transfer of data, for example, has fundamental implications for U.S. agriculture, and the sector suffers a knock-on effect from rising digital trade barriers, she said. Take note, Trump and Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick said yesterday the U.S. has signed an agreement with China, finalizing a tariff understanding secured earlier in London. Both suggested the U.S. is closing in on a deal with India. Ruling on Universal Service Fund is expected today. The Supreme Court is expected today to rule on whether an $8 billion program that funds internet services for rural areas and schools is constitutional. While the court has been releasing a bevy of rulings in recent days in preparation for its approaching summer recess, it has not yet weighed in on whether the Federal Communication Commission's Universal Service Fund violates the Constitution's non-delegation doctrine. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans ruled last July that the USF funding mechanism was unconstitutional, breaking with the views of the Sixth and the Eleventh Circuits. The FCC petitioned for Supreme Court review of the decision. Colorado River negotiators weigh possible divorce. After months of challenging discussions over future management of the Colorado River, negotiators from the upper and lower basins are exploring the option of breaking up. Both sides are currently considering a, quote, conscience uncoupling, which would allow the basins to put aside some long-standing legal disagreements and focus on ensuring a set amount of water gets released downstream from Lake Powell, said Colorado negotiator Becky Mitchell. If done correctly, it should provide the opportunity for upper and lower basins to manage themselves, with the only real point of agreement being the Lake Powell release, Mitchell said at an Upper Colorado River Commission meeting yesterday. Now take note, the seven states will now have until mid-November to signal the Bureau of Reclamation whether they have reached a deal, said Scott Cameron, Interior Department Acting Assistant Secretary for Water and Science. Here's today's final word. Ranchers are selling off prized cattle to make ends meet. They're buying hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of hay to survive the winter. Farmers are firing people when nothing is growing, and they're selling off land because they can't keep it profitable. That's Becky Mitchell. She's Colorado's representative on the Upper Colorado River Commission, speaking to the impact of water limitations on the Upper Basin. Well, that's Daybreak for this Friday, June 27th, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Dowling.